It's a blessed meal at church this morning. Thankful that it's raining outside.
Yes. Amen.
Good, now that we're inside a building, I'm thankful we have a building that we're not getting leaked upon because of the rain. It's a blessing to have a place to meet. And beautiful day outside. I like the weather. It's not snowing. It was kind of to wear a short sleeve shirt yesterday. It's a suburban here in Pennsylvania. I'm kind of catching up to South Carolina. I was a little jealous. Brother Jeffco came in last night. And he was telling me, he said, next week, what, 3 weeks, brother, you'll be preaching in John's Island. And John's Island's a nice area, Charles. Really nice area, Charles. I think he was trying to produce a little jealousy. No, but it's a blessing to be here this morning. Thank God to see all of you this morning. There's a lot going on. For those that didn't get the message, please keep the Hellies in prayer. Sister Kathy's mother, Miss Rachel's in the hospital. I believe it's a possible stroke that occurred Friday. Brother Craig went over to her house and found her on the floor, semi-unresponsive, so they took her to the hospital, did emergency brain surgery on her. According to last night, I believe she's awake, but she couldn't recognize them. So just keep them in prayer. I know Sister Kathy's taking it pretty hard. So just pray for her, pray for Brother Craig. Obviously, they're not going to be here this morning. I believe they're just trying to head back over to the hospital again. This morning, and also on the way here, Miss Donald let me know that Miss Jane, Sister Jane, her father went into the hospital. Was that this morning?
Last night.
So keep Sister Jane in prayer. Her father's in the hospital. They thought that he possibly had a stroke, but the CT scan came back negative. So thank the Lord he didn't have a stroke, but he does have pneumonia. He was negative on the COVID. So just keep him in prayer and the family in prayer that the Lord would help them. And the only other announcement that I have, please forgive me on the bylaws. I know I said I would get those out, email, but I got some more information from Brother Gip that I ordered from him that finally came in late yesterday. So there's still some things working on there with that. And then also as far as the baskets go, we're good on donations. I just found that out. So we don't need no more donations for the basket because we're not going to have enough room in them. Which is a blessing. That is a blessing. It's overflowing. It's multiplying. So that's a good thing rather than just have, you know, one coffee bean in the basket for the brethren. So, no, we're thankful for that. And God's good. God's just good this morning. A lot of heavy things going on. But God's good through it all. God is good through it all. And I'm glad that during heavy times we have a God and a Savior we can go to.
Amen.
I couldn't imagine, brethren, having to deal with serious heavy things in life without a Savior.
Amen.
No wonder people take their own life. No wonder people go to the bar. No wonder people are taking drugs. Because how do you deal with the heavy things of life? Okay. I'm glad I have a Savior this morning that's alive, that hears my prayers, that I can go to Him and He knows my heart. Even when I have words that can't be spoken about what's going on in my heart, my Savior knows. And I am thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for my precious brethren. I'm thankful that we have liberty this morning to meet in church. And let's look forward this morning to see what God will do for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you. The Bible says in everything to give thanks, Lord. So we thank you this morning for the rain. We thank you, dear Lord, that you're watering the crops, dear God. You're giving us water again to drink, Father. Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you for this building. Thank you, Lord, for a place to meet this morning. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for the United States of America. Lord, a lot of problems in the United States of America, but it could be a lot worse, Lord, and some brethren around the world are experiencing that. So thank you for our liberties this morning. Thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins, Lord, that we might have eternal life. And Lord, just help us to stay faithful to you, Lord. I pray that you would meet with us this morning. Dear God, that we wouldn't just check the box that we've been in church this morning, Lord God, but that, Father, you would give us what we need, Lord, that you would meet us where we're at. Help us to draw closer to you and to love you more in these last days that we are living in. Thank you, Lord, that Brother Jeff Cook could be with us this morning. I pray he's encouraged and just lead and guide and direct him in the morning service as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be using our chorus books this morning. Let's turn to number 26, a favorite of many, I believe. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. to go home to heaven. That's Psalm number 39. I want that mountain.
Yes, sir.
39.
Thank you.
hasn't sung this song in a very long time. I think it's a favorite of the children for sure. We're going to sing 188, The Wise Man and the Foolish Man.
Continuing looking at Genesis chapter number 1, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number, let's see what we pick up this morning, Genesis chapter 1, last week we were kind of going over how the Bible says here in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse number 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And we were looking at last week about how man is created in the image of God, and how Jesus Christ was shown to be the image of the invisible God. If you take your Bible this morning and look over at Colossians chapter number 1 again, Colossians chapter 1, looking at Jesus Christ here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Colossians 1 verse 12. Let's pray. Let's pray before we read this. Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity to meet in your house, Lord. Lord, just for the opportunity and the privilege to open up your word. Lord, I pray you just help us now in this next little bit as we look at a few things here out of Genesis, Lord, that, help us to love you. And Lord, that you would give us exactly what we need, Father, in these days that we're living in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul tells them in Colossians, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So Jesus, the Bible says here in Colossians, in verse 15, that Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, and the firstborn of every creature. Image, an imitation, a representation, or similitude of any person, thing, or act, sculpted, drawn, painted, or otherwise made perceptible to the sight, a visible presentation. When you, those 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, it was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ was all man and all God. The Bible says that he was the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ was all God and he was all man. Jesus Christ was not created. He was not a created being. There's this term, this word called Arianism, and it's an influential heresy denying the divinity of Christ. You see, the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, there is nothing new under the sun. This theme and this thought and this doctrine and this school of thought that Jesus Christ was a created being started all the way back in AD 250 to 336. You had this man named Arius. He was this influential heresy denying the divinity of Christ, originating with the Alexandrian priest Arius. Anytime that word Alexandrian, you hear that word Alexandrian, you already know you got troubles. Okay? You look at the manuscript evidence for our Bible, anything coming out of Alexandria, Egypt, you got issues. You got problems. Okay? And here this thought, this doctrine originates in Alexandria, Egypt with this man named Arius, and it says Arianism maintained that the Son of God was created by the Father and was therefore neither co-eternal with the Father nor co-substantial. Basically, Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh. No, Jesus Christ was God manifest flesh. If Jesus Christ is not God manifest in the flesh, we're still in our sins. If he was just a man, then I could care less that he died on a cross, that he shed his blood, that he was beaten, that he was spit upon. If he was just a man, why am I wasting my time this morning being in church? If he was just a man, why would I strive to even follow any type of religion if it's just he was just a man? Because he was just like I am then. Jesus was not just a man. He was God. The Bible says in Colossians, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, you read on through there, it explains itself that he wasn't, again, you use verse 15 and say, well, see, he was the firstborn of every creature. No, that's a firstborn from the dead. Okay? He was the first fruits to be raised from the dead to never die again. And he went before us. Now, the next verse there in Galatians says this, or Galatians, Genesis. Book of Genesis, back to Genesis chapter 1. And verse 28, the Bible says this in Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is a fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, one thing I find interesting, first of all, is the Lord says to them. He gives a command of what them. He's not just referring to Adam. Some think he's talking to Eve's form to this point. And I also wonder, too, if the Lord was talking to the animals and to the birds and to the fish of the sea. You say, oh, it would be kind of crazy that God would talk to the animals. Well, the Bible shows that the animals talk to man. Right? Didn't a donkey talk to Balaam? The Lord opened his mouth, and the donkey started talking to him. Now, listen, I mentioned before, if I'm out in the field or I'm with a donkey, and all of a sudden he starts talking to me, I'm going to listen. I probably would run away first, but then afterwards I'd be like, that thing just talked to me. Right? The Bible says, we're going to read here in a few verses, in a few chapters, that the serpent spoke to Eve. Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse number, let me see where it's at. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. The Bible says in Romans 8:18, it says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. So by Adam's sin in the garden, it affected everybody. And it affected everything in God's creation. Even so much so the animals. Because the Bible says here in verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity. What? To live and then to die. And what? To what purpose? It was subject to vanity. And a man or a woman that lives their life without Jesus Christ, their life is vanity. It's vain. They're living a life to no purpose. They live, they breathe, they eat, they do their work, and in the end, they eventually go back to the ground from whence they came. Their body returns to the dust of the earth. Now they have a soul, but basically that life was a life of vanity. It was lived to no purpose. And brethren, our lives, if it's not being lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what job you have. I don't care what career you have. I don't care what you endeavor to do for mankind and humanity. If it's done outside and not for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is vain. It is vain. I don't care if we colonize Mars. I don't care if we colonize Jupiter. I don't care if we find out a way to live on the sun and to live. It's vain outside of the Lord Jesus Christ because we'll just live and we die. We live and we die, and we live and we die, and it's been going on that way for 6,000 years, and nothing's going to change. Look at all the medicine we have today, and what's the max that somebody can live? Maybe 100, 110, and that's very few people. But for the most part, the Bible says 70 to 80 years old. That's about the timeline that God gives us. I don't care what kind of medicine we have. We're not reversing this thing, okay? But the Bible says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Not willing. The creature wasn't willing to be subject to vanity, but by reason of hope, who hath subjected the same in hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Even the creatures of God feel the effects of sin. And so when the Bible says here, God said, and he blessed them, and God said unto them, I believe God could have been referring even to the whale or to the lion or to the elephant saying, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. He's speaking to his creation, and we've seen there's verses in the Bible that says and shows that the creation can speak if God allows it. And the prime example is the donkey. The Bible even says, Jesus even said that if they fail to cry out and worship him, that the stones could cry out and worship him. Brethren, again, I said this before, when you study through the book of Genesis or you just begin to study through the Bible, to have a mindset to think, I've got this book figured out, you're insane. If I hear somebody say, well, you know, the Bible, I know you don't know nothing about the Bible. If you have that mindset of, well, yeah, I've studied through the Bible and I think I got a pretty good handle on it now, and I don't want to hear anything you have to say. Because the more I read this Bible, the more I spend time in God's Word, the more I realize I know nothing, absolutely nothing. And what God has set up, it won't surprise me someday if we get home to heaven and the Lord says, did you know that this could do this? Did you know that the trees could bear witness to what you did underneath the tree? Like I could call forth the tree to be a witness against you. That's why we have to be so careful with how we handle ourselves and how we conduct ourselves. Now look, I'm not saying if you go out here, the tree knows exactly what you're doing. But I'm saying it's part of God's creation. And there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing hid from underneath the sun. God sees and God knows all. And his creation bears witness to him being the creator. And God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. God gives a command to mankind to do these following things. He says to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Fruitful means this. It means to be very productive, producing fruit in abundance, plenteous. To multiply means this. It means to increase in number, to make more by natural generation or production or by addition. Replenish means this. To fill or to stock with numbers or abundance. Now, I'm not a gap theory man. I know some brethren out there, some good brothers. There's some good brothers I love, and they go along with the gap theory. I don't go along with the gap theory. And one of their proof texts is this Bible says replenish. Well, if you look at another definition of replenish, it's exactly what I gave you to fill. So it doesn't mean that there was a previous earth that was there that you're to replenish now because God had some creation before this creation, that because he destroyed that creation, so now he created this creation just to be destroyed again. That makes sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to me that some brethren will say, well, the fossils there, they were there the first earth, and then when it got destroyed, they got put together, and that's how you... No, because the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was no dry earth yet. So what are you saying? The bones and stuff were floating around in the water, and then when he made a dry earth, he put... So I don't go along with it, but I know some good brothers who do. But to me, if you say replenish, it doesn't necessarily mean that there was something there prior. One of the definition means to fill or to just stock with numbers, or abundance. And I take it this way. The Lord... and I'm going to get to it, I'm going ahead of myself. But look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. Be fruitful. God, the creator, tells Adam, he tells them, he says to be fruitful. All right? Now, he could mean to be reproduced, to form more of mankind, to where man fills the earth. And I believe that's one aspect of it. But I'm going to look at it from this aspect this morning, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. We already read it, some of it this morning, but look at verse 14. That's not it. Hang on. Let me find it.
Verse 10.
Yep. Thank you, brother. Verse 9, for this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And look what he says next. Being fruitful in what? In every good work. And increasing what? In the knowledge of God. So God the Creator, in the very beginning, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Here in Colossians, Paul tells the church there, he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, I don't know about you, but I desire to walk worthy of the Lord and I desire to please him. But then Paul goes on to say, and he says, okay, well, if you want to please God, if you want to please the Savior this morning, you say, I want to walk closer with God. I want to please my Savior, the one that died for me. Okay, so you have a key that he gives you now. And he says, being fruitful. Well, Paul, what am I going to be fruitful in? Being fruitful in every good work and then also in increasing in the knowledge of God. So you say, brother, well, how do I increase in the knowledge of God? How do I become more fruitful in every good work? Learn more about your Savior. Spend time with Jesus. What are those men that came, I believe it was Philip or Andrew, one of them, and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. What did those Pharisees and scribes and the religious crowd look at the disciples and they realized that they had been with Jesus? You know what we need this morning in our churches? We need brethren, we need brothers and sisters who spend time with Jesus. You sang the song, brother, this morning, Brother Ralph, you sang that song, it's the giant of prayerlessness. You know what we need this morning? We need more time spent in prayer. We need more time spent in fellowship with our Savior. We need more time spent in learning what does the Scripture say that I need to do that would be pleasing to my Father. And that produces fruit. You see, today I believe most of our churches, we've shortcut what God has established in His Word, and we're producing junk for fruit. And we're wondering why we go out and we witness and we talk to people and we lead people to the Lord and why the churches aren't filled, or if the churches are filled, they're a mess. Because we're shortcutting, I believe, in a lot of instances, what God puts the emphasis on. God says being fruitful in every good work, doing good to others, doing good to the brethren. And that's why I'm so thankful for this church. Just with this little thing that we try to do next week, we're going to try to do, it's overflowing. That is a blessing. That is a good work. That is a good work. So he says here, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look what he says. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all. Here's some words we don't like. Unto all patience and long suffering. And not only being. I sound like a broken record. I'm going to be a broken record because the Bible is a broken record in this instance. Unto all patience and long suffering. If he wouldn't have added this last part, we might have been all right, but with joyfulness. Patience, long suffering. God, I did good today. I didn't voice what I wanted to say. And the Lord says, yes, you did. You did good in that part, but you messed up on question number two because you didn't do it with joyfulness. And we wonder why John fell down as dead before the Lord when he saw him there in the book of Revelation. Brethren, what a Savior we serve. That, as David said in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful? What is man that even take that thou even takest knowledge of him? That Lord, that look this morning, God, that you show mercy upon me, and I'm your son, Lord, and you show mercy upon me daily. What grace? You want an example for patience and long suffering? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and how he treats you in your own life. And then exhibit that, what your Savior shows to you, then you exhibit to others. Long suffering. You want fruit. The Bible says God told them in the garden there, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We need some good fruit. We need some good multiplication. We need some good replenishing that this earth can taste and see that the Lord is good. We need some good fruit. The Bible says in John 15, 16, it says that ye should go. Jesus says to his disciples, he says that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. It's not good to be patient today. It's not good just to have long suffering yesterday. It needs to be a continual fruit that grows in your life. That's where I think that word replenish comes in. Use a few pieces of fruit of patience today. Okay, it needs to be replenished. Some more's got to grow again for the next day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, when they went out and they gathered up manna, it was just sufficient for that day. You can't go off of yesterday's blessings. You can't go off of the prayers you prayed yesterday. You can't go off your meditation time with the Lord yesterday. It's got to be replenished. It's got to be renewed. It's got to be filled again today and tomorrow until the Lord calls us home. We can't rely on the fruit that we had yesterday. We're in today. That is the word replenish. We can't just sit back and say, well, you know what? I had a pretty good week. I had some pretty good prayer time. I had some pretty good Bible study time. And I think I can coast through this week. Oh, look out. Look out, son. Look out. You want some issues? You want some problems? Go ahead and start coasting. And I speak that from experience. I don't know how many times God's whooped my tail because I decided, you know what? I had a pretty good day yesterday. It was pretty good. I did pretty good with the Lord. I had some patience. I even did it with joyfulness a few times. I was nice to my wife. And the next moment I know, I'm barking at my wife. You know, the Bible talks about that, and I believe it's in Colossians, it says to be not bitter against your wives. You ever look up that definition of the word bitter? Look up the word, in the 1820, look up the word bitter. It basically means short. What do you want now? Why are you, can't you see I'm busy? I mean, when we were talking about it, brother, some brothers we were talking, I'm not going to call you out, Brother Brian. No, I'm just saying. No, I love them to death. I was like, look, they came over. They're a blessing. I love Brother Brian and Sister Erica, but I'll tell you this. They came over to the house Monday, right? And we're sitting there, because they're getting married Saturday. And so I look at something with marriage, and I look at Brother Brian. I said, well, the Bible says God, the Lord teaches us to be selfish. And as soon as I said it, I realized, no, the Bible doesn't. We're not to be selfish. We're to be unselfish. But yeah, so husbands, be selfish in your marriage. No, it's, and then we were talking, and what I appreciate is just being honest. You know, just being honest, being real. Okay, there's times that I don't always treat my wife like I ought to treat my wife. That's just being honest. There's times where I got things in my mind and I might come across a little quick with my answer to her. The Bible says not to be not bitter against your wife. Be careful of your attitude and the tone of your voice and how you speak to your wife and to anybody, because that's bitterness and it's dangerous and God takes notice of it. I never knew the definition of bitterness. I thought I knew what bitterness meant until I read the definition. And then I realized, yeah, there's times I am bitter towards my wife. God help me with that. So Jesus says here that your fruit should remain. 2 Corinthians 9:6-15, I'm not going to read through there, but in there it says, increase in the fruits of your righteousness. Increase in your fruits of righteousness. Now take your Bible and look at Philippians. Remember, the Bible says Jesus, or the Creator said, God said, be fruitful and multiply. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 8. Or 2 Corinthians, I quote it if you want to look at it later, chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. In there it says, increase in the fruits of righteousness. We're going to dovetail that into Philippians here in chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Look what he says in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Why? Unto the glory and praise of God. So Paul tells the church here again, he emphasizes things that your love may abound. And then he goes on to say in verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. To what purpose? Unto the glory and praise of God. You say, well, brother, what is righteousness? Righteousness, the definition in the dictionary is this. It means purity of heart and rectitude of life. Basically, what the word rectitude means uprightness of mind, exact conformity to truth, or the rules prescribed for moral conduct, either by divine or human laws. Basically, being upright. Conformity of heart and life to the divine laws. So Paul says those there at the church in Philippi, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, having a purity of heart and rectitude of life. Listen to this definition as well. Righteousness, as used in the scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness. Comprehending holy principles and affections of heart and conformity of life to the divine law. It's nearly equivalent to holiness. Now look, my brother was talking about the other day about this. You know why I think a lot of people, you go door knocking or you go witnessing, and I don't agree with some of it, because I think some of it is hyper sales, vacuum salesman techniques, just to get a notch on the belt to say, I got somebody saved, and I come in and I got 350 saved today or this week, because hogwash nonsense. I'm going to give you 300 apple seeds, and I want some apples tomorrow. Go ahead, buddy. I'm going to give you 300 seeds of apples and corn, and I expect a lot of corn and apples tomorrow, son. Not just tomorrow. Let's pray, and I want it right now. No. Now, I'm not saying you can't go door knocking and witnessing to somebody get saved at that very moment. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. I know what God did in my life. I know what happened when I got saved. And a lot of individuals who claim, something ain't clicking, because you don't have what I got, and it didn't occur the way I got, it's foreign to me. Now, I was raised in church, and I had individuals pray with me the sinner's prayer. I must have prayed the sinner's prayer 50 times, at least, not saved. You know why? Because look at the definition of righteousness. It is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart and conformity of life to the divine law. I wanted Jesus Christ without the holiness. I wanted heaven. I didn't want to go to hell, but I also didn't want to do what the Bible said. I didn't want God to change my life, because I knew if he changed my life, I couldn't do some of the same things I used to do. That's good. Do you understand? So it's easy today to get somebody to repeat something and say, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, nobody in their right mind is going to say they want to go to hell, unless they're mocking you. So, of course, everybody wants to go to heaven. But does everybody say that they're going to heaven? Are they going to heaven? Look here, in the news the other day, and you have to forgive me for my carnality in this, because, unfortunately, working in a juvenile center, I know a lot about hip-hop and rap and things like that, because that's what I was around for 6 years. So just recently, an artist, a musical artist, is what you call him, he passed away. And you know what they said? Heaven's gained an angel. Heaven's blessed today. That man is not in heaven. At least by his fruit, the man was wicked. But you see, because, well, you say you love God. He says he loved Jesus, so automatically that puts him in heaven. Absolutely not. You know what my justification was to listen to some of the music I listened to before I got saved? And that was one of the things that was keeping me back from God. I would look at the CD cover, and if the individual in there paid any respect to God, that was my justification listening to that music. That was my justification. Well, of course it's got to be good music because they want to thank God. Absolutely not. Just because they say they want to thank God doesn't mean they know God. The devils believe in God. The devils know more about God than we'll ever know about God. They're in it. The saint still has access to go into his presence. He's accuser of the brethren. He makes that circuit. And so, brethren, I want to tell you this morning, I think we're, and I'm going to look at it next week. I want to do a little more study on it. But I'm doing a study on sheep reproduction. And it says if a bad gene gets in there, a bad mutation gets in with some sheep, and they start reproducing, it produces a flock that's very susceptible to disease. And I'm afraid today in some of our independent Baptist churches, we are susceptible to some bad diseases, because some bad diseases are creeping up in the church. I believe we have a lot of stillbirths. They speak, they say the right things, they act the right things, but something just doesn't click between your spirit and their spirit. Brethren, I take this stuff serious because I saw what it almost did to me. Well, Brother Chris, I'm serious on this because it upsets me. And I believe most people who are doing it, they did it out of sincere heart. They didn't mean no malice by it. It's just the way that they were taught. But in order to get numbers and to put people forth that are saved, just pray this prayer with me. Just say these words. Just bow your head and just repeat after me. And voila, you're in the kingdom of heaven now. All the while, you don't know the man's heart or you don't know the woman's heart. You don't know what's going through their brain or their mind and where they're at with God. But they grab a hold on that thing like a death grip. Well, I prayed that when I was 4 years old, they hold on to that thing. Thank the Lord I didn't. Thank the Lord God got a hold of me when I was 22 years old, and I realized, you're fine, come on in. You're fine. Good to have you here this morning. I finally realized what I was before God. These are serious matters. The Bible says to bring forth fruit. And by your fruit, you're going to know them. Brother Glenn, when you got saved, did you desire to be in church?
Yes, sir.
Look, when I got saved, you didn't have to come and pry and poke and say, come on, brother, you got to go to church this morning. I wanted to be in church. I didn't know nothing. Look, I grew up in church. When my parents said it's time to go to church, I was like, oh, I got to go to church. I hated it. Look, you know how bad I was about going to church when a Super Bowl was on 1 year and my parents dragged me to church? I was like, can't I just one Sunday out of the year? Can't you just let me one Sunday out of the year just stay at home and watch the Super Bowl? No, you're going to church. And I thank my parents for that. So you know what I did? I got me a Walkman. No, some people don't know what a Walkman is. I got a Walkman. I put it in my coat pocket because it was wintertime and it was Pennsylvania, so it was cold. So I didn't look weird wearing it. Thankfully, Super Bowl wasn't in the summertime because then I would have looked weird wearing a jacket. But it's in the wintertime, so I wore my jacket. I'm cold. I put that thing in there. I wired that thing down my arm. I put on the radio station that covered the Super Bowl, and the whole time the preacher was preaching, I was like this, listening to the Super Bowl. I'm just glad God didn't smite me dead. Brethren, I didn't care about church. I was raised in church, and I couldn't wait to get away from church. But when I got saved when I was 23 years old, it was like everything became brand new.
Yes, sir.
I can't explain it. You did not have to tell me, say, now, Brother Chris, you need to read your Bible. I was taking in anything that had the word Jesus on it. I was throwing it down. Just give me whatever is Jesus. And it isn't like that a newborn babe, that the baby just puts anything in its mouth. And you have to teach it. Well, no, you don't really want to eat that. That's not very good for you. Same thing with a newborn babe in Christ. Unless they're led and guided and taught in a local body of believers, but they're putting anything Jesus in there. If it's Jesus, it's good. I want it. Because I want. You see that heart's desire. They want to be in church. They want to be around the brethren. They want to study God's word. So when you have to beg somebody that claims to have just gotten saved to come to church, something is not right. Brethren, I'm not worried about numbers. I'm worried about being faithful to the duty God's called me to do. The numbers are God's business. Stonewall Jackson made a good point one time. He made a good statement, and we're going to end with this right here. He said, the outcome is not, I'm paraphrasing, and I know I'm up north, but Stonewall Jackson said some very good things, and I believe he loved God. You should read about him. He's a very good man. And he said, duty is mine. The outcome's God. I just need to be faithful to what God has me to do. And the outcome, that's the Lord's. So don't go out. I don't want you going out of here today and say, well, Brother Chris doesn't believe in soul winning. Absolutely not. I believe you put forth the seed. I believe you do as Paul did. You reason with Felix about temperance, judgment, and righteousness. And or Agrippa. And he looked at Agrippa. And what did Agrippa say to Paul? Almost thou persuaded with me to be a Christian. Why didn't Paul say, well, no, Agrippa, no, you could be saved right now. Just bow your head. Just pray with me right now. No, Paul did not do that. You say he had him right there. Yeah, he did have him right there. But then that's when it came down to Agrippa making a choice whether he wanted to serve God or his own self. And that's where we mess it up. We see that opportunity, we see that heart, we see that desire, and if they're almost there, we'll leave it there between them and the Holy Ghost. Look at them and say, do you have any other questions? Is there anything else that you don't understand or know? And then leave them holding that rock. I'm so glad it was done with me, because I had to wrestle with that thing for a little while there, wrestle that thing out with God. Trust the Holy Spirit, trust God that he knows what he's doing. He wants them saved more than you want them saved. Don't push someone into the kingdom that it's you pushing them in and not God bringing them in. Amen. You say, well, Brother Chris, what's the danger? The danger is you have a lot of individuals who may walk around thinking that they're just fine with God, and they're no more fine with God than the lost man out there in the street. They got a form of religion. You compass sand and sea and land to make one proselyte, and you make them twofold more the child of hell. I know I misquoted that, but there's a good example of it. You make them twofold more the child of hell. Well, I did what they told me to do back in VBS. I prayed it, and I love Jesus. Yeah, but did he change you? Did the lights come on? Did you go from darkness to light? Is the Bible alive to you? Do the things of God bear witness and speak to you? When you read the Bible, does the Holy Spirit give you and teach you things out of God's word? Can you receive spiritual things? Is there fruit in your life? Is there growth in your life? Do you see your walking closer to the Lord? Do you love him more? What's your fruit like? If you're the same as you were before you got saved, then I have to scratch my head a little bit. There ought to be a difference. And that's what this world needs to see. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Good fruit. Fruit that can be tasted and seen by society, by our community, that there's a difference in us and we just don't have another religion. That what we have is alive, it's true, and it can change your life. This book, Salvation Our Savior, can change your life.
Yes, sir.
And I believe with all my heart that whatever we need and face in this life is found in these scriptures. But it's going to be work, brethren. And we're going to look at it a little more next week. It's going to be work. You see, it's easy again to make shortcuts. But when you're a farmer, I've never been a farmer, but I have planted some gardens before. But when you're a farmer, a real farmer, and an old-time farmer, that was some hard work to get some fruit. It was a lot of heartache, it was a lot of sorrow, it was a lot of prayer that the rain would come, that the sun would shine, that nothing would destroy the crop, because that was their living. That's the same thing when it comes to trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would rather say spend more time in prayer than in talking, because we need the power of God in our lives. We don't need to go through the motions. No, we need to be like Elijah in that cave and stop worrying about the big show of the earthquake and the fire, but being still enough to hear that still small voice. Spending time with the Lord to know when to speak and when to be quiet. When to say something, when not to say something. We need that discernment today. And people need to see a difference in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I know some of this stuff stirs me up, Father. Lord, we don't see some of these principles in your word. And God, I pray that we would just be faithful to what the book says, Lord. Help us to be about your business. Lord, I'm reminded when the disciples come to you, Lord, after you fed those 5,000 and you went across to the other side of the sea, Lord, and you looked at disciples and said, will ye also go away? Lord, there's a cost, and it costs us giving up our life to turn and follow you. Lord, I know when I got saved, I said, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I just want you. That was my heart's desire, and I believe that's true salvation. An individual just wants you. And Lord, if they would just call out to you, Lord, and cry out to you, and Lord, be willing to give up and repent and just turn to you, Lord, I believe you can change them. And Lord, you can do a work in their life, and they can truly be converted. They can truly be born again and be a child of yours, and then therefore go forth and produce good fruit. Help us, Lord, through the rest of this day. Lord, help us this week if you should tarry and you allow us to live. Help us to bring forth good fruit. Help us to be about good works. Help us to have long-suffering attitude, to be patient, and to love one another, dear God, and draw closer to you. And we just ask this now in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brethren, take a little break, and we'll get started here in a few minutes.